Hey guys, it's Sammy
and Robbie
back again to tell you about another upcoming con,
and we're super excited about this one.
It's another Indiana one. This one is Pop Con, Indie Pop Con to be exact, and it's going to be in Indianapolis again at the Convention Center,
Indiana Convention Center,
right in downtown Indianapolis. And Robbie will be there April 26th through the 28th.
Yes. We were just at the Indiana Comic-Con, so if you missed us, you get a chance to meet us again at PopCon.
Yes, well, at least Robbie.
At least me. Ashley will be there.
Oh, yeah, and Ashley will be there. That's an exciting thing.
Ashley will be there, so you get to meet a lot of us on the network.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds of it, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
So if you're coming to the show, please stop by the Limitless Broadcasting booth. We're always excited to see you.
All right.
That's all I got.
Well, I guess we'll see you guys at the show.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Sammy.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Shall we begin?
It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan.
Hello.
And of course, produced by Limitless Broadcasting.
Make sure you check out all of our social media after the show, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook.
Yes. We are in March. How are we in March? Like,
I know.
Time is weird. It tends to move.
It's true.
It is. And I looked at my countdown for the wedding, and I'm in double digit. It's very close. You didn't freeze. I thought you froze for a second.
No, I just was contemplating the timeline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, goodness. But we're not talking about that today. We are in March, and everyone knows on the podcast, March is our Marvel March.
It is.
That is solely Sammy. Because I'm horrible when it comes to Marvel stuff. So, Sammy, take it away. What are we starting the month with?
We're going to start with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. So this is actually a year old at this point, because I think it came out in February 17th, 2023 is when it actually was out in theaters.
Has it been that long? Wow.
Yes.
Why didn't we talk about it last year?
Because it wasn't out in time. When we went to record, So it was in theaters, but I was like, well, I'm not going to be like, you have to go buy a movie to get to see this movie to talk about it. And we didn't even see it in theaters. I didn't watch it until this week for the show.
Okay.
We hadn't seen it either, to be fair. Actually, every single thing we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks, we watched this week. So
nice. That's pretty much me as well. So
Yep.
There's just too much stuff. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah,
no.
They're always pumping out content.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's a problem. They've slowed down. Let's be honest. They have slowed down in certain areas.
Yes. And they're forced to now with the strike. It just messed everything up, which
I'm okay
not
with.
A bad thing.
Honestly, the strike needed to happen to slow everything down.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm not mad about it at all.
Not either. Gives us some time to catch up.
Ooh, yeah, definitely. With this stuff. Yeah. Not as overwhelming. All right. So Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. The brief synopsis. Thank you, IMDb. Scott Lang and Hope Van Dyne are dragged into the quantum realm along with Hope's parents and Scott's daughter, Cassie. Together, they must find a way to escape. But what secrets is Hope's mother hiding And who is the mysterious Kang? I don't think it was that great, but the description makes it sound a lot better. Yeah. To me, the description makes it sound a lot better than the movie truly was.
Yeah. I was going to enjoy it regardless, just because I love Paul Rudd and I like the Ant-Man franchise. So. Yes.
Yeah, I love Paul Rudd. I loved all that. It was still fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, some of the story, I was just like, what? I don't know. Not as into this movie as previous Ant-Mans. We'll just say that. Mm-hmm. So we got some taglines. This February, enter the quantum realm. Kind of
direct.
I mean, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. And witness the beginning of a new dynasty.
Why are we starting new dynasties? There's too many Marvel dynasties.
No. This is, and Robbie, if he does make it on the next episode, he will probably explain this to us. But Kang, the Conqueror, he is the dynasty. Except he's not anymore because the actor was
killed.
Let go. No. He was fired by Disney. Mm-hmm. So I heard they're just going to not continue with this idea any longer. But of course, when they filmed this, they did not know that.
What did he do?
I think he beat up his girlfriend. There was like a whole court thing with it. I think it was like domestic violence. Again, he might know a lot more than me, but yeah, Disney was like
Disney with that crap.
Yeah, he just got let go in December. So
nowadays you can't be a part of anything with that crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, it was rightfully a court thing. Yeah. So
we shouldn't be encouraging that in any area of our lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, unfortunate for the storyline, though. I mean, it could have set up for some cool stuff, but
it was. Yeah. I mean, I didn't understand it when Robbie initially tried to explain it to me, but as they tied it all in, I was like, "Oh, okay, he's a good villain." Not probably anymore, though.
Yeah.
So this movie is rated PG-13. Its genre is action, adventure, fantasy, and comedy, per usual with Ant-Man. Director was Peyton Reed. Producer, of course, Kevin Feige and Steven Brassard. And writer was Jeff Loveness. And like we said, this came out February 17th, 23. Its box office gross was $214.5 million. That's domestic. So U.S. and Canada. Didn't really make its money back. Its budget was estimated to be $600 million. So, yeah, it was considered a flop for Marvel. Mm-hmm. The first of two this year, definitely. So,
what was the other one?
The Marvels.
Which I don't understand because I liked it.
I liked the Marvels too, but we did not make it to see it in theaters. And now I feel bad that we didn't actually get to go see it in theaters.
I know, me too. I would have loved to see it in theaters.
I'm sure Disney is making up for it now on Disney Plus since it just came out. So, yeah.
It is adorable.
It was cute. We'll get there. Very cute.
So, is Loki now done too? Because the guy who plays Kang the Conqueror is the same villain in Loki.
I don't know. And Loki, I mean, we will be getting into that next week, but I believe Robbie said Loki, the character, is going to be teamed back up with Thor soon. And I'm like, how is that going to work after the ending? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't understand anything that's going on with this.
Yeah. I honestly thought, like, after watching Ant-Man, I was like, okay, it looks like they intentionally set up for Loki. Mm-hmm. But then knowing that he's not coming back, like, okay.
Yeah, because this came out.
Should I have watched this before I watched second season of Loki?
Not really. There's just like a teaser at the end. No.
Okay.
It was just because this
first, so it's fine.
Yeah, and this came out and then Loki, because you know Marvel has their plan. So this came out, had a teaser, which led into Loki, you know, like they do. So,
but it's literally the same actor.
Yeah, but they didn't know he was fired yet, so that's why.
Oh gosh.
Okay, I mean, they just fired him. They filmed all this like 2 years ago. So I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I saw it on like some article was interviewing Josh Brolin. They were like, hey, now that he's gone, you want Thanos to come back? Like, I don't know how they would make that work, but he was like, yeah, I'd be down for it.
No more Thanos. No. Bad.
I heard they're going to do a whole new villain, but I don't know who they'll be pulling.
Needs to happen. Like, we've had enough Thanos. Thanos had his story time. Storyline.
And since we know nothing about the comic books, we are not going to be those people to guess who the next character will be.
Now I'm just going by internet articles.
Yep. That's all I got.
So I found an article about Majors and his issues. Mm-hmm. So he was found guilty of reckless assault on the third degree and guilty of harassment following a 2-week trial that stemmed from the March incident between the actor and his ex-partner. Mm-hmm. So they were positioning him to be a key character with an entire story arc around King the Conqueror. With it leading to the next Avengers movie, which was supposed to be Avengers the Kang Dynasty, that was slated for May 1st, 2026.
No longer.
So Disney has to start over, which is never good for them because they probably already put a bunch of money in it.
Yeah. So I don't know what the Avengers are going to be doing, but it's nothing to do with Kang.
Maybe we should just be done. Maybe we should just like go on a hiatus. Give it like 5 to 10 years and then start Avengers back up and then everyone will want it again.
Yeah, I'd be good with that. What even are the Avengers now? Because most of the original Avengers actors and characters are done.
When we get to the Marvels, then I'm going to throw another wrench into a whole nother team.
Oh, I know.
Right. So
I saw the ending of that. I'm like, oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, the teaser. Yes. They're just.
Which teaser? Because there were two.
So this would be the one where she went to get Bishop. Kate. Okay. Yeah, Kate Bishop. That's
the
start
one
of
I just
kind of
dismissed. I was more about the one that came after that.
Okay.
The second teaser. You know which one I'm talking about.
I didn't see the second teaser.
You didn't see the second teaser on the Marvels? The one with Kate was cute. The other one.
That one made the whole movie worth it for me.
The other one. Ooh.
Okay, between this
you need
episode,
to watch it,
I
please.
Need to watch it. Because my Disney Plus, like after that teaser, did the thing where it moves on for you to like review or whatever. Like it didn't show me the second one. It didn't like
I don't know, there isn't much. Yeah.
Huh. Okay, I'll watch that after this one. Anyway, back to Ant-Man.
Let's get back to Ant-Man. Okay. So Cass. Obviously, Paul Rudd is back as Scott Lang, aka Ant-Man. Evangeline Lilly is Hope Van Dyne, the Wasp. Jonathan Majors is Kang the Conqueror for now. Catherine Newton was Cassie. And David Dastmalchian, I'm super sorry. I'm sure I butchered that. Anyway, he voiced Veb, the little like blob thing. And he was actually in the other Ant-Man films. He played Kurt. So they brought him back because I think it was the director or the producers, whoever, thought he was a good luck charm. So they were like, please come voice this character.
That's cool.
And Bill Murray, Lord Kryler. I died.
Bill freaking Murray.
I died when I saw him because I really didn't know that he was in this. I didn't read anything about this movie before we just sat down and watched it. And I was like, how much time have we spent talking about Bill Murray in the last couple months? Here he is again.
He just does that. He has this way of just showing up when you don't expect it.
Oh, I loved it though. I was just like, I literally looked at Robbie and I'm like, are you kidding me? Is that's Bill Murray? Are you serious? What?
Maybe I should watch this just so I can see Bill Murray.
Yeah, he's not in it for a crazy amount of time, but he's very Bill Murray in it.
Very Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Anytime Bill Murray shows up, he's just like, yeah, I'm here. It's me.
He's just him. Yeah. It's just, he's not playing much of a character. He's just Bill Murray in a costume. That's it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So Michelle Pfeiffer returned as Janet Van Dyne, the original Wasp. And then Corey Stahl was Darren Cross, a.k.a. also M-O-D-O-K. I can't remember what it stood for. Weirdest freaking villain character. Bizarre.
So goofy.
Yeah, it was strange. And then, of course, Michael Douglas is back as Dr. Hank Pym. So, yeah.
Mental mobile mechanicized organism. Designed only for killing.
Thank you. I was like, I was going to look it up, and then it was a really long name, and I just didn't want to do it. So it's weird. Do you see a picture of it?
Yeah, it looks funky.
Yeah, do you see him? I did not care for this.
It's so weird.
They
set it up. Yeah, they set it up to be this weird, this like kind of intimidating, and then it's just a face.
It was so bizarre.
It's very odd.
I did not like the animation on it. I don't want to be judgy. Because the CGI and stuff, they're insane. But I was just like, this is it.
It's not
this
even just the CGI. It's just the whole concept.
It's just floating.
It's like something out of an old anime that I saw. I saw a while back.
And then the legs and the... It was strange.
Yeah.
I just want to talk to comic book designers and people and be like, how do you even come up with this?
Why?
I mean, they were very, very, very like creatively intelligent people, but I'm just like, why?
Yeah.
But the actor I read was, I'm sorry, I was going to say he was excited to play the character. As weird as he was.
He seemed like he had a fun time doing it.
So, yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
No, I just saying when you're on a time crunch, creatives don't even care. They're just like, we just pump out whatever random crap.
Yeah, we'll have some info on that too in the trivia. Yeah. Okay, so let's go to the trivia. All right. Okay. So this film, Thor, Love, and Thunder, and The Marvels were all filmed at the same time. All in different countries. So, yeah.
Wow.
All together, they're being filmed. So this is the first Ant-Man movie that was not co-written by Paul Rudd.
I didn't know Paul Rudd co-wrote the others.
Yep.
No, but that doesn't that doesn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But not this one. He was not involved.
Well, I wonder why.
Mm-hmm. And the script writer, Jeff Loveness, based the dynamic between the fathers and daughters in the film on the father-daughter film's Father of the Bride and Hook.
Okay, that's cute.
I was like, I have to put this in here. Mm-hmm. I like that one. Ah. This is the first MCU film nominated for a Razzie.
Isn't that the bat, like the crap, like your crap?
It is. Okay. Yes. I mean, no one takes that really that seriously. They mostly think it's funny.
It's like a fun crap.
Yeah. But I just thought that was interesting that this was the first one to get nominated. That's a lot of films to wait before you nominate one. So
mm-hmm.
thought that was interesting. Okay. So Emma Furman plays the now teenage Cassie Lang in Avengers Endgame, but the role was recast with Catherine Newton. Furman claimed on Twitter that she learned about being replaced when Disney released details of the film at their investor day in December 2020, and she was sad but grateful to have been part of the MCU. How much does that suck to find out you've been replaced at the investor day, man? I don't know. Who knows?
Huh.
Could have been age thing. Could have been, who knows? It's hard to say why they decided to go that way, but it seems to find out that way. You're like, oh, I guess I wasn't invited.
It's not personal. It's business. That's what they always say.
That's what they say. Yeah. No idea. This is Bill Murray's first appearance in a Marvel Studios film. Dun, dun, dun. Of course we knew that because
he
would have remembered. If he was in another one. Apparently, he was interested in joining Marvel for a while and even phoned Catherine Newton to ask if she was okay with him joining the cast. Like, I don't know.
Aww.
Yeah. Who knew? Who knew Bill Murray was such a Marvel fan? Now we know. Mm-hmm. And he made it in.
Interesting. So.
And at the beginning of his career, director Peyton Reed directed behind-the-scenes material for the Back to the Future franchise. And
which
these efforts. This is why I included this, because I was like, here we go again, more tie-ins. And those efforts included Back to the Future 2. Early in Quantumania, there's a moment involving a pizza scene that plays tribute to the sequel. He said, I did the making of the documentaries for Back to the Future Part 2 and 3, so I was on set when they did the pizza scene in Part 2, so Quantumania's pizza scene is a little tip of the hat.
Nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
I see it now. I didn't think about it when I saw it, but
I didn't either. Yeah, I see it too. Yeah, I loved that, though. I was like,
Boy, Mom, you sure can't hydrate a pizza.
Oh, I can't wait.
Is that what they did that scene?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't say that line.
No,
yeah.
They didn't say that line. Although it would have been very funny if they did. But
gotcha. Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Scott's Ant-Man suit has been altered to include the classic chest pattern from the comics. I just thought that was interesting that they updated his suit this time. Mm-hmm. And Hope's shorter and darker hair in this movie was Evangeline Lilly's doing because she wanted to play tribute to Janet Van Dyne's original pixie style haircut in the comics.
Cool.
I didn't know that either, so.
I was so used to the original haircut, I almost didn't recognize her at first.
I did that too. I was like, wait.
Is there a different actor? Wait. No, but that's definitely her. But
yeah, I was like, nope, it's her. I did the same thing though. I was like, ooh, her hair is so different.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the visual effects. So in an anonymous interview with Vulture, a VFX artist said that the quality of the effects of the film were sacrificed in favor of Black Panther Wakanda Forever. He said, in terms of priority, Wakanda Forever was definitely top of the list. All of the money went to that. All of the best resources went to that. And it's understandable given the context with Chadwick and everything and how well the first film did. but it did diminish the ability to carry Ant-Man all the way through. And for Ant-Man, there were a lot of editorial changes happening towards the latter third and fourth of the project that were just too late.
Gotcha. That definitely makes a lot of sense.
I mean, that makes sense. Why now they got a Razzie and it didn't go as well. And
Yes. And in fact, due to the shifting release schedule. So also, just so you know, the Marvels was going to be the introduction of Phase 5 of the MCU universe. Got moved because it was taking longer, you know, production, all that stuff. So then they pushed Ant-Man up. So Ant-Man like bounced around. Like Ant-Man was February, then it was July, and then it got pushed back up to February. So their post-production period was reduced by 4.5 months, which reportedly resulted in at least 10 rushed visual effects scenes being added at the last minute.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. All this makes sense now. Mm-hmm. Even though I didn't see it, it makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And one last fun thing, the composer on this film, Christoph Beck, claims that Cassie's theme is Ant-Man's theme played backwards. And I thought that was kind of cute that they're like the same, but backwards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's all the trivia I got. So Dan, the man, you can start with your opinion since I've been talking for way too much already today.
I had nothing.
No, I mean, I honestly didn't have as much. I just, I mean, like I said, I was going to enjoy it regardless just because I liked the first two and, you know, I like Paul Rudd and it did. It kind of had that same vibe, as not so much the second one, but the first one, you know, definitely had that kind of plucky humor.
Yeah.
You know, I had no idea there was going to be an actual like society in the quantum realm.
Yeah, I know. Right.
That was so kinda cool. Yeah, it threw me off, but that was pretty interesting. You know, since I mean, obviously, unfortunately, it's not going to happen now, but it was cool seeing, because I watched Loki season two first before I watched this. So then watching this, I was like, okay, Loki makes a lot more sense now. But you know, obviously that's not gonna the actor was really great. I mean, he was really great job. He was really easy to hate.
Yes.
Why can't we just replace him?
I don't know. I mean, but there are a lot of actors who would not want to take in that role because they wouldn't, exactly what Dan said, because he was so good in it. Mm-hmm. They actors sometimes don't feel comfortable stepping into a role to replace somebody like that.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. But
yeah.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I added this one thing on my notes here. I literally just put in all caps, Bill freaking Murray.
Yes.
That's literally that's just the entire comment right there.
Yes. Funny. Bill freaking Murray. Yeah. So true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked seeing the, at the end when all the ants disappeared for like 1,000 years or something, or like thousands of years, and they came back as these just like grisly old warriors.
Yeah. So it's like a whole time thing, Ashley, where the ants basically like became super smart and evolved while they were down there in the quantum realm. So of course Hank was like leading them to come save the day at the end of it.
They all come back. They kind of remind me of like the Bad Batch from the Clone Wars, you know, like the, I don't know if you've seen that or not, but like that's kind of what they're doing. Yeah, he's like just like, you know, grizzly, gruff, but like don't mess with me kind of dudes.
Yeah,
that's what it made me think of. So, but yeah, no, I mean, all in all, it was fun. It was a fun movie. So, I kind of wanted to start walking down the street like Paul Rudd did in the beginning. Just that.
Oh, it's so cute at the beginning. Yeah, I would recommend watching that too, Ashley, because he's hilarious doing his own like little inner monologue about being Ant-Man. And it's so funny because like he gets a free coffee every day from this place and they think he's Spider-Man.
Right.
He doesn't.
And they find out he's not.
yeah. And then he's just like, "You're the other bug." And then he no longer gets free coffee, but he was still very excited to realize he was the other bug superhero. But then he charges him, and that was, you know, Paul Rudd's facial expression. It's just so funny. It's hilarious.
Oh my gosh, poor Rudd. He's still a superhero. He should get free coffee.
You should.
I know, but
more so than Spider-Man.
He's not as cool as the other bug. So sorry. No, please. He's gotta pay.
The other bug's screwed up.
I don't know. They're both adorable, so I don't know why.
They are adorable, but Mr. Peter Parker screwed up in his second and third movies.
Well, he's a kid.
That's true.
He's a kid. It's understandable.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but Scott Lang's a lot more well-adjusted, though.
Yeah, I would
he's
say
so. He's got his family. He's got his people. You know, he's just loving life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Is he married to the Lost now?
I don't think they're married, right?
I think they're just dating.
They're together, though.
They're together.
I don't think they're married, though.
I don't know if they got married in between. They've been together a while.
They don't make any reference to that. Mm-mm.
Gotcha.
No, I mean, because there's not a lot of time between like the last one and this one. In theory, like the way the movie starts, there's not a big time span.
Gotcha.
Right. Between them when they end up in the quantum realm. So.
Yeah.
But I liked Cassie in this too, because she has her own suit that she's been hiding from her dad. And clearly Hank has been working with her behind the scenes, behind his back. And it's cute, their little bond together. Mm-hmm. And so I liked that. And she really came into her own as a part of the superhero team.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how she's sort of a younger version of Scott, like even more rebellious than he probably was at that age.
Probably.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like you can kind of relate to her with that, you know, connect to that.
Yeah. I agree. Absolutely. So their dynamic was a lot of fun to watch in this movie. And going back to Kang, what's cool is that, and, you know, we get it even more in Loki, all the different versions of him and everything. But when he's first banished to the quantum realm, like when he's first found by Michelle Pfeiffer's character, Janet, he's just like, it seemed like you feel bad for him because he just seems so down and. Like he's so bad, but you just have all this empathy for him and sympathy for what he's going through. And then it turns. You don't feel so bad for him anymore. But
yeah, exactly.
At the beginning, they do a good job.
That's what's interesting about the actor is like, even when he is bad, like he has these moments where he's like about to break down in tears. Like you actually believe that he's being genuine, and then he flips to just straight up evil.
Yeah. Well, I had read that when they were doing that scene where Cassie's in like one chamber and then Scott's in the other, and he's having to like torture both of them back and forth, that the actor was struggling with it. And I think it was the director told him that he should play it like he feels sorry for Scott. And then that was what was able for him to get through the scene. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, you're right in that. Super interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm looking at Catherine Newton and what else she's done.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just like, Ashley has like the look, like serious look.
I was looking to see what else she's done because I knew her face. And I'm like, how do I know her? She was in Detective Pikachu, the Pokemon movie. That is adorable, in my opinion. And there was something else. She's the new lead in, or she just came out with Lisa Frankenstein, which I've been seeing those commercials everywhere with her and Sprouse.
They're really pushing that.
I just wanted to see how I knew her.
Okay. Yeah, she's a good actress. I liked her.
Yeah. Well, I thought maybe she was in the zombie movies. Disney. It's literally called Zombies. Or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not her. It's someone else.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Anywho.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a fun movie. It's an Ant-Man movie. You know, it's not my favorite Ant-Man movie, but.
I think I've only seen the first Ant-Man. I don't even think I've seen the second. I stopped. Well, you know me. I kind of just kind of stopped Marvel for a very long time.
That's true. Yeah.
What's funny is I remember liking the second one, but I don't actually remember much of what happened. I just remember he got really big and then he abandoned the suit because he was hiding from the cops.
Right.
Interesting.
It was fun.
But, yeah. I mean, these are more like silly movies.
They are. Yeah. Lighthearted, silly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just I feel like that's Marvel is becoming more lighthearted and silly in certain areas, which they did not during the first phase.
Right. Well, yeah, that just got reinforced with the movie The Marvels, plus Love and Thunder, plus this. Like, they're definitely going for more, you know, appealing to a very different audience.
Right.
Yeah.
So, which is fine. I mean, you know, there's, you know.
Except for, now we got Echo, which I haven't started yet, and I'm a little nervous to start, because it just looks so violent.
Oh, yeah, because that's more in the Daredevil universe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is exactly how it's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous to start that. I don't know. We'll see. I liked Echo in she was in, or Echo was in Hawkeye for like Hawkeye. A second. And I like Echo in that Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I really should watch it, but I'm just like, I don't know. Well, we shall see.
You got some time to think about it. You know,
I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
Well, anything else? Any other thoughts on Ant-Man? I know you don't have any, Ashley. You're, yeah. Any other thoughts, Dan?
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it's worth watching. Check it out. Watch the Bill Murray scene. Super funny. Mm-hmm. Randomly in there.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, I'll wrap up since I didn't say much today.
Okay.
It's a first. Ashley was pretty quiet. I'm roasting myself. You can laugh. You can agree. It's fine.
I'm just going to sit in silence. Mm-hmm.
That's her roasting me, is just glaring at me in silence. Pixie Dusters, thank you so much for joining us today. If you loved Ant-Man Quantumania, please go to our social media and let us know in the comments. We will see you next week for Loki. Yes? Okay. For Loki.
Loki season two. Yep, that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Adios, Pixie Dusters.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy, logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.